Praise the Lord, buddy. Don't miss out. Services like this are special.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Getting a service like this, this is where you can get the help you need. A lot of times it's in the preaching, but sometimes it's just in the Spirit of God. Come in like that balm of Gilead. Soothe what's breaking your heart. Take your Bible and go to Genesis chapter number 13. Genesis chapter number 13. The spirit of the service doesn't really seem to go with what I brought tonight. And I told the Lord, if you don't want me to preach it, give me another direction. And He said no. But I don't know how far into this I'm going to go. But I want to begin tonight before I ever even read some scripture. I want you to look up here at me. I'm just going to make a statement to you. Don't quit.
Amen.
You say, preacher, what do you mean? We've been having some of the best services and the church been full and blah, blah, blah. I know it. I've been doing this right here for 23 years. And you would not believe how many people sit in services like this and even better. Somewhere along the line, they just quit. I don't mean just quit coming here. I mean quit altogether. We've had people leave and go to other churches, and that's okay. We can handle that. But there's far more tonight who have left and just quit. Some have quit on God altogether. I've watched some, after they quit on God, quit on their spouse and their family. I've watched them quit on their children. I've watched mothers walk away from their own children. Don't go out of here and Facebook and say, Brother Eddie was talking about you. That breaks nobody's heart more than it does mine, except for those children. Seen some of the most horrible things I could imagine. People who used to be in church and had their children in this youth choir testifying just like these kids were tonight. But because mom and daddy quit, they're now gay, lesbian, drug addicts. You say you're blaming that all on because they left church, they left God. You quit God and you're a child of God, you will not get away with that. Somebody once said, we've come too far to go back now. They said again, we've come too far. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't go back to what it used to be for nothing. Shouldn't even tell this morning. We pulled into a trailer park. This later, almost at the end of our bus route this morning, I told my wife, I said, boy, does this bring back memories. Boy, I stuck my foot in my mouth. I was thinking about the kids we used to pick up in there. My wife said, yeah, I had to come here and get you one time. Boy, and there's something in my heart just broke. And I thought, thank you, Lord, she don't have to do that no more. I don't leave on Friday night and then Saturday her spend the day trying to find out where I passed out. Woo! Hallelujah! Somebody ought to get happy. Listen, I'm trying to say, chances are, I've been doing this long enough to know there's some of you, if you're not careful, just statistically, I wouldn't wish it on nobody, but chances are, if you don't pay attention, you'll quit. I got to thinking about a few men in the Bible. I may just talk about one. I got five or six or seven here. I don't even know how many that I just jotted down. And I thought maybe we'd talk about tonight and talk about why they quit. Nobody gets up one morning, like say after a great service, like maybe that Tuesday night of revival. How many we have saved that night, eight or nine? Brother Jesse's wife got saved. Hallelujah. I mean, had the greatest service you could ever imagine in revival meeting. I doubt anybody just woke up on Wednesday morning and go, that's it, I quit. Nobody just wakes up one day and says, forget you, God, I'm done. It's a gradual thing. It sneaks up on you, and before you know it, you're out. I asked a fellow yesterday, I looked him dead in his eyeball, and I said, what happened? How did you get from where you were to where you are now? Honest before God. And I believe he is being sincere. He said, I don't know. He said, I missed a Sunday here. I missed a Sunday there. This came up and that came up. I never really intended. Did you know that's the testimony of almost everybody? Except for those whiny babies that got their feelings hurt over something. Amen? Boy, y'all died on me there. I get my feelings hurt all the time. But I ain't leaving. I know a couple of pastors, every time things don't go their way, they threaten to resign. I'm going to resign. I think all they wanted was a raise. Don't die on me. I ain't leaving. God put me here, not you. The majority of the people who voted me in are dead. Thank God, Brother Charles, you're still around. Amen. I'm just saying, I'm not going anywhere. I don't look at some guys in the Bible who quit. And guys who I think maybe were further down the road than a lot of us are. I thought about Lot in Genesis chapter number 13. Don't you look at verse number 10. How many of you know who Lot was? Man, y'all need to read your Bible. Let me say it again. How many of you know who Lot was? He was a famous nephew. We have a little trivia. Whose nephew was he?
Abraham.
Thank you. He was Abraham's nephew. God told Abraham to leave his home and go to a land that he'd tell him of. And he took Lot, his nephew, with him. As they journeyed and as they traveled, God blessed them immensely. God blessed them so much that they got down to the place here in Genesis chapter number 13 to where they had too much stuff to dwell together. Now, we preached a message years ago about where you plugged in, and we said that Lot was plugged into Uncle Abraham instead of being plugged into God. When he had to stand on his own two feet, he failed. But I want to say this tonight. Number one, Lot quit because of wealth. Possession and stuff got Lot away from God. Amen. Listen, I'm not against you having stuff. I pray every day that God bless you. Those of you that have business, Brother Jerry, I pray you sell tea all over the country. And coffee. I pray, I do. That's on my prayer list. Brother John, I pray for your, I did more than pray for your business. I gave you my business. Amen. I pray for these guys who have businesses. I pray for you guys that work for yourself and do construction. I pray for that every single day. I want you to prosper. I want you to do well. But I don't want your prosperity to take place of your God. You got to always remember who got you here. People get so much stuff and they get so busy with their stuff they don't have time for God. They got a condo at the beach. They got a place in the mountains. They got, we don't got anybody like that, I don't think. But anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. They got so much stuff, man. They work all week to make all that money and then all they got is a weekend to take care of all that stuff. Stuff will get you in a mess. You'll begin to think it's what's important. Now, I'm going to read some scripture in a minute. Now, had I been Lot, having hindsight, if I'd have been in Lot's shoes, I might have done the same thing Lot did, and so might have you. You say, well, bless God, I wouldn't. You don't know what you'd do. You ever wonder why you don't have a lot of money? Well, I just don't know why God don't bless me with $1 million. Maybe he knows how you'll respond. Some people can't handle it. I've had people before say, boy, you pray we win this lawsuit. You pray we get our settlement. Soon as we do, we're going to do this for the church and that for the church. Soon as they got their settlement, I seen them going down the road in a new Cadillac and ain't seen them since. We say we'll do a lot if God will do this and God will do that. God knows what we'll do. I pray that God prosper you every day. But God knows better than I do. I'd rather have you poor and just getting by and right with God and right with your spouse and right with your children. Amen. Than have all the money in the world. God began to bless Lot a little bit and it went to his head. I want you to notice verse number 10. Of chapter number 13, Abraham comes to Lot. There's strife between their herdmen. They're raising cattle, all right? That'd be a good business to be in today. Me and Brother Chris been talking about that. Amen. I don't want no strife between our herdmen, brother. Amen. But they begin to argue. I imagine there's arguing over watering rights. That's been an age-old problem. I read a book, an old Western, and that's what it was about. It's all about fighting over water rights. They probably fought over grazing land. They's fighting over this and that. Abraham said, look, our relationship, Lot, is more important to me. Let's separate. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, you pick whatever you want, and I'll take what's left. Yeah. Well, that was a godly attitude, wasn't it?
Amen.
But I want you to notice Lot's attitude. In verse number 10, I want you to notice that Lot had worldly ambitions. The Bible said, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Now listen, Lot had some worldly ambitions. When Abraham said, Lot, separate yourself from me, Lot immediately began to look at what he could gain. What's in it for me? What's best for me? What's best for my house? What's best for my cattle? What's best for my employees, my herdsmen? And what's best for my God? And before he looked at anything, all he saw was where he could get gain. He didn't see all the stuff around him. Amen. I've had people over and over with worldly ambitions. I've watched teenagers get out of church for minimum wage. I would not sell out God for a job at McDonald's. One kid told me, said, I have to work. I said, why? He said, so I can have a car. I said, why you need a car? So I can go to work. Listen to me, kids. Mooch off your mama and daddy as long as you possibly can. Because that gravy train will be cut off one day. Amen. One kid told me, he said, I'm going to move out on my own. I said, you're an idiot. Can you cook? You living with you. Is your son? Tabitha was smiling at me. I said, you're an idiot. I said, your spoil's stinking rotten. You do anything you want to do. Your mama feeds you every day, pampers you like a little girl, and you want to move out on your own. I said this. I shouldn't have even said who it was. Now I've got to be careful what I say. Do I have to be careful? I said, problem is, you just wanting to do something you can't do while you stay in that. Y'all okay? Hey, you better get all you can while you can. Let me tell you something. God's more important than, what's minimum wage? $7.25? You know, that ain't a whole lot in this day and time. I remember when it was $3.25. $3.25 an hour. Big time, boy. Amen. Lot had some worldly ambitions. Do not put your ambitions before God. He said, but preacher, I want to be successful. Well, what if that avenue you're searching or seeking out is not God's will for your life? It could be the downfall of you. Are you listening? I don't want to pick on my little brother tonight. I was going to use him, but I'm not going to do that. I think an open door of opportunity is sometimes the worst mistake people make. I listen to that XM radio, Enlighten, that channel 65. They play a lot of Southern gospel music. I was driving down the road the other day, and they had a whole section, or whatever you call that, a time slot. And it was dedicated to, like, gospel oldies. You know, like you got the golden oldies and the country, classic country and all that. They had classic gospel music. They were playing a segment from a live show in a church of the Oak Ridge Boys.
Wow.
You should have heard. They weren't just singing. Them boys was preaching. I mean, flat out praising God, man. Talking about the gospel. What happened? An opportunity. Preacher friend of mine I hadn't seen in a long time came and sat down by me Tuesday night in the service. The Rochesters was up singing. If you're from this church, you know who the Rochesters are. They're going to be in our fifth Sunday night service in July. I'm looking forward to that. But Ben was up there, and Ben was playing. I can't remember where he was playing, the guitar, the dobro, the banjo, the fiddle, the mandolin. He was playing one of them instruments. And that guy sitting next to me said, "Man, that guy's awesome." I said, "You ain't never heard them?" He said, "No." I said, "Man, where you been?" I said, "That kid right there could go anywhere. All he'd have to do is pick up his phone right now and they'd offer him a blank check. He has that much talent." But I'm glad there's some that choose God over opportunity. Just because something may prosper you and you may get gain from it, in the end, you're not gaining, you are losing. Did you know almost every country, almost, not all of them nowadays, but used to, almost every country music musician started singing in church? Listen to me. One of the most gifted voices to ever walk this planet. You can argue me all you want. You can think Brother Eddie's carnal. I don't care what you say. Ain't nobody could out-sing Whitney Houston. I can hear that woman sing, "I'll Always Love You," and I'm talking about right now, goosebumps jump up all over me. You know where Whitney started singing?
Church.
In the choir. Serving Jesus. But because God gave her such a beautiful voice and such an awesome talent, church was no longer a big enough avenue. So the devil said, "Oh, here's an open door.
That's right.
Here's an opportunity." Bless her heart. I believe Whitney Houston was saved. Some of you got quiet. I believe she's in heaven. I don't give a flip what you think. Somebody said, "Well, I don't understand. She had beauty and she had talent and she had money." Yeah, but she had the Holy Ghost living in her heart, and you can't live how you want. That's why she's miserable. That's why the money couldn't buy her happiness. That's why the drug. That's why she wound up face down in a bathtub.
Amen. That's right.
Are we okay?
Yes,
I'm just trying to say, money's a blessing, but it can ruin your life.
Yes,
be careful about them worldly ambitions. Yes. And I know it's tempting. You think, "Man, if I won the lottery..." Y'all ever play that game? I'm not talking about playing the lottery, but you drive down the road and talk with your husband or your wife. "Well, if we won the lottery, what would we do?" We do that all the time. "Man, if we had $10 million, what would we do?" I'd give it away. I'm a sucker, man. I guarantee you I'd have friends I didn't even know I had.
Amen.
I'd be a check-writing fool, man. I would. If I won the lottery, I'd do this. Now, and it's fun to dream. And it's fun to think about. But you don't ever know. Money is a very powerful thing.
Amen.
Yeah, you might do some good with it, but in the end, what would it do to you?
Amen. Amen.
That was funny. Lot, listen to me. I may not get past Lot. I got a few of them to tell you about. I may just give you the rest of them. But Lot, in verse number 10, he had some worldly ambitions. I'd say he did, wouldn't you? You know, there's just one verse between Abraham telling him to decide and Lot making a decision. I don't see it recorded where he prayed. You say, well, it doesn't have to be written down. No, I don't believe he did. Or he wouldn't have made the decision that he made. He had some worldly ambitions, but look at verse number 12. I believe he showed some pretty hasty actions. Verse number 10, he had worldly ambitions. Verse number 12, the Bible said, and Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Verse number 11, that's where I was wanting to go. Verse number 11, the Bible said, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. How many of you have made a foolish decision? And you made that decision without thinking. You made it without praying. And you made it without seeking counsel.
Amen.
I don't want to sound arrogant, but don't come in my office or pull me off to the side and say, Brother Eddie, I need some advice about a decision I'm about to make, if you've already made it. Don't waste my time. Are we okay? You would not believe the times, Brother Charles and I, Brother Freddie and I, people have come to us, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? In their heart, they've already made the decision. What they're wanting is our stamp of approval. What they're wanting is their conscience ease because they know they have made a bad decision. I had a couple come in my office and said, Brother Eddie, we want to get married. What do you think? I said, do not do it. Don't do it. May be the right person, but it ain't the right time. You ain't ready. Well, we already got the license. Well, what are you coming to ask me for? Since you didn't ask me beforehand, go let somebody else marry you. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. Y'all okay? Boy talked to me a while back about getting married. I said, you want to know what it's like to be married? I might have told y'all this the other day. I said, go to Dillard's at the mall. Go to the ladies' department, pick out the biggest purse you can find. Pick that purse up, walk over to the ladies' fitting rooms, and just stand there for about an hour and hold that pocketbook. Just stand there and hold that thing. You'll know exactly what it feels like to be married. I can save you the trouble. He made a hasty decision, or he had hasty action. He acted before he prayed. He acted before he thought it through. Uncle Abraham was his elder. Uncle Abraham had the grace to offer him the opportunity. Whatever you want, son, I'll take the rest.
Amen.
You know what he should have said? Hindsight looking back. What do you think, Uncle Abraham?
Amen.
Yeah.
What do you think I should do? Amen. You've been my spiritual mentor and my leader all these years.
Amen.
You taught me how to pray and you taught me how to worship, Uncle Abraham. What do you think I should do?
Right.
No, brother, he just made a fast decision.
Right.
Some of y'all are in a mess right now because of a hasty decision. A hasty decision. It gets you in a mess financially, gets you in a mess spiritually. I'm talking about what makes people quit. Wealth will make you quit. He had worldly ambitions. He had hasty actions. I bought a new lawnmower the other day. Much needed new lawnmower. I mean, it was bad. I had one that my stepdad Pop gave me before he died. His son, Brandon, my stepbrother, gave it to him years ago. It was wore out when Brandon gave it to him. Anyway, I need a lawnmower. I've been wanting a tractor forever. I'm talking about I'm wanting a tractor. Somebody say amen right there. Preacher needs a tractor. Amen. So we go up here to Kubota. I'm looking at lawnmowers out of one eye and then tractors out of the other. And my precious wife, she said, honey, just go ahead and ask them, how much would it be to get the tractor and the lawnmower? I did not make her say it twice. I put my hand over her mouth and said, sir, sir, sir. We got emergency over here. Figure in that tractor right now. And a bush hog and a post hole digger and everything else I need to go with that tractor, figure it up. And he did. And something inside me, he come back with a figure. Oh, it's only going to be zero, down 0%, which is a good deal. And he told me how much it was a month. I had permission. Boys, that's a big thing. You need to learn something about that. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody.
Amen.
Mama was happy. I could have hooked that tractor up and hauled it home. But something inside me said, not now.
Amen, brother.
And in my mind, I can afford it. I can pay for that. I can handle that. Ain't no big deal. But you see, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
I don't know what's going to happen next month or the next month. Matter of fact, they're going to finance that tractor for 60-something months. What's that, 5 years? 6 months? I don't know what the next 5 years is going to hold. I'd like to think I could go buy the brand new tractor, use it all I want, and the rapture take place. Never have to pay for it. Amen. That's my way of thinking. But listen, I could have made a hasty decision right there. And I might have never regretted it. But the Holy Spirit inside me said, not now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Lord, why can't I have a tractor? I ain't no different, y'all. Why can't I have a tractor? Everybody else got some property, got a tractor. How am I going to take care of what you gave me? He said, I didn't say you couldn't have a tractor. I said you couldn't have it now.
Yeah, amen. That's right. Amen.
That guy said, you want me to write it up? I looked at my wife. She said, whatever you think. I said, not now. Lawnmower's enough. I can pretend like it's a tractor. Amen. I drive that thing around the yard and sing, Green Acres is a place. Amen. Amen. I just jack that deck up and make a bush hog out of it. Amen. He made a hasty decision. Why don't you pray about, not just, I mean, we ought to pray about everything. But them big things, you ought to pray about that stuff. You ought to seek God before you jump. And don't do it because everybody else is. Which will bring us to our next little point here. Lot quit. Wealth got Lot away from God. Would you agree? He had worldly ambitions. He made hasty decisions. And lastly, he chose evil associations.
Yeah.
I know the day we live in, you got to be very careful what you say. If it were America, Lot chose to live in San Francisco. Y'all okay?
Yeah.
Amen. If it were Georgia, Lot chose to live in Little Five Points. He picked out the wickedest place to raise his family. Did you know people leave here because of jobs and never see if there's a Bible-believing church where they're going? I can name you five families right now that are away from God. Their children are a mess because they took a job and never considered where we're going to raise our children in church. The Bible said Lot sat in the gate of the city. In other words, he didn't just move near them. Brother Freddie, he become one of them. So what kind of people were they, brother? The worst you can imagine. Mm-hmm. Now, we want to single out that one alternate lifestyle group, the homosexuals. But it wasn't just that.
Right.
It was wickedness of everything you can imagine.
Amen.
All these preachers want to jump on it and say it was because of the gays and the lesbians. It was just sin.
Amen.
You say, well, I've made some decisions and I've got some friends, but they're not gay. Well, you don't need to be hanging around a bunch of drunks. You don't need to be running around with whoremongers. You don't need to be running around with drug addicts. We like to categorize sin. It's all sin. Watch your associations. You know what will happen? You get to hanging around people who have a lot more than you do. I married one of my best friend's daughters yesterday. Friday, whenever it was, I took some stuff to his house for him. Every time I go over there, I find myself going, man, I wish I had. You know, that ain't right. Covetousness is still a sin. You hang around people who have a whole lot more than you, it'll almost make you do anything to have what they have. That's why I hang out with poor people.
Amen.
Poor as a snake, amen.
Oh, yeah.
Evil, I'm going to quit. I got a bunch more. But listen, I've always told our teenagers, some of y'all who are grown now, Melissa, you'll be able to quote this, you are now or you will become who your friends are. Lot had some worldly ambitions. He made a hasty decision and he had some evil association. He got to hanging around the wrong crowd. How many of you have gotten a mess because of the crowd you ran with? You say, well, I'm gonna have a good effect on them. Right. I've had girls come in here with some mop head punk kid. Brother Eddie, I know he ain't saved, but I'm gonna be a good influence. Never works. Now, I wanna whoop them at the door. I said it in love. Be careful who your associations are.
Yes,
hey, it's okay to love your old friends.
That's right.
But there's a time when you're going to have to keep a distance.
Yes,
because you can't do what they do.
Amen.
I was reminded of that recently. The Lord said, that's not who you are anymore.
Amen.
Yeah, but my friends, I love my friends. I didn't say you couldn't love your friends. You can be there when they need you the most. You can be there in their darkest hour.
Yeah.
Amen.
But if you hang out with people who still do what you used to do, it won't be long you'll be doing what
That's
you
right.
used to do.
That's right, preacher. Yes, sir.
Amen, brother.
You're right.
Lot moved his family to Sodom and Gomorrah. The very name Sodom ought to tell you something. You really want to offend that crowd? Call them Sodomites. That's what the Bible calls them. Boy, it gets quiet in here. Preacher, you're on the internet. I don't care if I'm on Channel 5 News. It's wicked and it's a sin. If Joel Osteen's wife can say it, I can. Her wimpy husband won't.
Amen.
He put his family down there. He joined himself to a citizen of that place. He sat among the leaders of that place. He became one of them. Not a Sodomite, but he became one of that town's people. Wound up with his wife, turned into a pillar of salt. He wound up drunk and committing incest with his own children. That's about as dark and as gross as you can get.
Amen. Yeah.
And there's probably somebody sitting here tonight going, that had never happened to me. Who do you think you are?
Amen.
I guarantee you, any of our cops here tonight, policemen, Brother Todd, you recognize anybody in the jail over there right now who don't remember what they did last night and would have never done it had they not been so highly intoxicated? You don't know what you'd do. I remember when I was younger, people was getting on that PCP. They was jumping off buildings because they thought they could fly. Do y'all remember that? I don't even know if they sell that stuff no more. They got all this crazy crocodile stuff that'll eat your face off. They got all kind of wicked stuff out there, man.
Amen.
Y'all listening?
Amen.
You don't know what you're capable of.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't quit. Amen. Stay where you are. Fight through the storms.
Yes,
stay faithful through the battles.
Amen.
Deal with the difficulties. Don't quit. I didn't know all this was in here. Lot quit because of wealth. Samson, we won't even turn there. Listen, I'm just going to give you these. Samson quit God because of women. Samson, let me say it again. Samson quit God because of women. Oh, I know you want the youth choir to get back up here and sing. Y'all ain't liking this. Amen. You're saved. You ought to act saved.
Yes, amen.
Keep your eyes off of other men's wives.
Amen.
Keep your hands off of somebody else's wife.
Amen. That's good.
I think it ought to be legal. You cheat on your wife. You cheat on your husband. We can carry you in the parking lot and wear you out.
Amen.
Buggy whip you.
Amen.
You know what that is? It's selfish. It's somebody thinking about nothing but their own flesh.
That's right.
Stand there and tell me how much you love your children. Samson had some rules because he was a Nazarite. And he broke nearly every one of them. And he wound up blind and grinding at the mill. Somebody said, oh, but in the end, his life didn't end well. You're stupid if you believe that. Oh, but it was a great victory. He tore down the temple. What could he have done with eyeballs? What could he have been had he never laid his head in Delilah's lap? Are we okay? Judges chapter 14, his first woman was a heathen. I'm talking about a heathen, a non-believer, an infidel. His second woman in chapter 16, was a harlot. His third and last woman in chapter 16 was a hireling. A hireling. He was set up. And if you don't think the devil will use your flesh to set you up, you have another thing coming.
Amen.
I hadn't hit on this in a while, but husbands and wives, you ought to be faithful.
Yes,
single people, you ought to be faithful to God and save yourself for marriage.
Yes,
amen.
You ain't got to sleep with everything that walks. That stuff's still sin.
Amen.
They hand one of my kids a contraceptive at school. I'm going down there and my grandkids, I'm going down there and ram it down their throat. We're not preaching safe sex. We're preaching abstinence. That's so old-fashioned. It works. I ain't never heard of date rape when daddy was in the back seat. They's better than us fell over this mess. Whoo. Wealth got Lot. Women got Samson. Nehemiah chapter number 4. Weariness got Judah. Weariness. Judah was next in line.
Amen.
Judah said, man, we fainted. We're tired. There's too much rubbish. We can't build here. You better be careful. We'll get weary in well-doing. Now, all this other stuff's been wicked. Doing right, serving God, ain't nothing wrong with that. Listen, bus workers, that's why we have the first Saturday off for you guys every month, so you can spend a day with your family.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. The average full-time ministries will wear its people out. I'm thinking of one ministry. I've got to be careful. I'm on the internet. I won't even give a hint to what it is. But they demand so much out of the people who serve in that ministry that the divorce rate is so high, it's unreal. It's right up there with a railroad. Think about serving God. Sometimes you need to rest. Sometimes you need to spend some time with your family. Chances are God made you a husband and a wife before He made you a bus worker or Sunday school teacher or whatever the case may be. Are we okay? Weariness affects leaders. Weariness affects lay people. It affects us all. Lot quit because of wealth. Samson because of women. Judah quit because of weariness. And then John Mark in Acts chapter number 13, he's wanting to go home. Let me tell you something. Serving God ain't for mama's boys. It ain't for sissies. It ain't for people who get their feelings hurt very easy. If that's you, I would suggest you just sit on the pew and don't ever do nothing. The best thing to do would be get victory over that. Quit thinking about yourself all the time. And you might get the joy out of serving God and seeing God work in your life. Amen. Can I give you one more? 2 Timothy chapter number 4. I'm going to read this one. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. This goes back to a statement I made this morning. The problem in Mark chapter number 4 wasn't the vessel in the water. It was the water in the vessel. The disciples were going down at sea, not because the vessel was in the water. It was made to be in the water. But it was the water in the vessel. We have to live in the world. It's when we get too much of the world in us. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10. Paul said, for Demas hath what? Anybody know? Forsaken me. Watch this. What got Demas out? Having loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica. Listen to me. What got Demas out? He had a love for the junk. I have to watch that. Does anybody besides me?
You're right.
These things this flesh desires and wants.
Yeah.
I'm bad that way. I want everything I see. Amen. I want one of them. I want one of them. Yes, I want one of them. Brother Ray keeps wanting me to come by the house and see the cars. I can't. I can't handle but seeing it once a year when they drive it to church. It's all I can deal with. I want one.
Amen.
I'm just made that way. Anybody like it?
Yeah.
Chrome, man. Chrome has an effect on me. Amen. It's like looking in Shere Khan's eyes on Jungle Book. That snake, y'all know what I'm talking about? Ooh, it just pulled. I got out of the restaurant the other night where we was preaching. There was a Harley sitting there, and it had them neon lights up under. Brother Bo, like yours, had them blue lights, and that thing was lit up. And I was just like, I was just drawn to that thing. Demas loved the world. Let me tell you something. And I'm done tonight. I know it's been a little bit scattered. I'm talking about not quitting and what'll get you out. This world will suck you out, man. What this world will do, it'll offer you pleasure. And it's real. These preachers get up and preach like they're all sanctimonious and holy and sin ain't fun. It's a load of fun. You can't tell me them people on the lake this morning, that sun shining.
You say, what's a sin about being on the lake? Nothing unless it's church time. Unless you're on your yearly vacation. But some people, it's a every weekend vacation. Are we okay? You can't tell me they wasn't having fun on them jet skis out there at Wee Dowie this morning. I guarantee you they's having a blast. That guy lipping that 9-pound bass. Oh, yeah. That guy partying and dancing last night doing the electric slide. He had a good time. Had a good time. We went by. How many old Paulding County people I got here? Old Paulding County. We went through Dallas, headed toward New Hope this morning. We went between what's the name of that grocery store? My mind just went blank. No, not Publix. No, right there by the old Dairy Queen. Denton's. We went between Denton's and where the old Dairy Queen used to be. And Sister Angie said, kids, that's where we used to hang out. We called it the hill. We'd back our cars up on that hill. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I remember when the mud hole got made behind Dairy Queen. A friend of mine had a stick of dynamite. There's already a little mud puddle there. That was when the four-wheel drive stuff took up. It was Sherman Maxwell. I know I'm on the... Is that statute on limitations on dynamite? Because I just ratted him out. And we double-dog dared him. He went over and threw that stick of dynamite in that mud hole, and we didn't know what was going to happen. But, buddy, we didn't have to go to Burnt Hickory to go four-wheeling after that. And I was right through there. I thought, whoa, we used to have a good time. And we did. But, man, it was short-lived. This world will offer you pleasure, but the end of that pleasure delivers pain. Every single time. This world offers pleasure, it delivers pain, and it points people straight to hell. I'm just talking about some things. Be careful, it'll get you out. It'll cause you to quit. There's a whole lot of other things. I got a whole list. Hurt feelings, gossip. But basically, it boils right down to it. When we quit God, it's because we're not right with Him. Basically, that's it. Amen. People, you get mad at me, you get mad at Brother Jeremiah or Brother Warren, and say, bless God, I ain't getting back on that bus. You're not quitting us.
That's right.
You're quitting them children, and you're quitting God.
Yes, you are.
Woo. And if you were right with God, the end results would matter more than your feelings.
Yeah.
What's the end result? Boys and girls getting saved. Well, we've had some families that need to take a break, and that's fine. We care more about your marriage. Are we okay? I'm not getting on anybody. I'm just saying. Don't get your feelings hurt and quit. When you get your feelings hurt and get quit because you're mad, remember who you're quitting. You're quitting the one who saved you. Lot quit because of wealth. A lot of us ain't in no danger of that. Samson, women, the opposite sex. Judah just got wore out, tired. John Mark wanted to go home, and Demas loved the world. Old Paul was pretty blunt about it, wasn't he? He said, having loved this present world. The devil will lie to you. He'll tell you your old friends are doing better than you are. Not even close. Wait till tragedy comes in their life. You stay faithful, they'll call you.
Yeah.
And you may get the opportunity to lead them to Christ.